D-Maze Finnegan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And, of course, we are proudly presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. All right. So yesterday, as we were on the show, we were talking about, I don't know why the topic came up. We were talking about problematic relationships. And I said, speaking of problematic relationships, Aaron Rodgers is on with Pat McAfee right now. And we couldn't listen to it, of course, because we were on the air. But I went back and I read and I heard what Aaron Rodgers had to say during his semi-regular therapy sessions with Pat McAfee. And Aaron Rodgers detailed his split with the New York Jets. Now, I just want to take a couple of minutes. I want you to listen to what Aaron Rodgers said yesterday on the Pat McAfee show. And just because it is not a visual medium, early in the clip, Aaron Rodgers cuts out a little bit. He had some cell phone service issues. He then jokingly blames it on the New York Jets trying to interfere with his signal so that he couldn't tell the story. So if you hear a little bit of a pause, it's because of Aaron Rodgers' technical difficulties, not ours. But listen to Aaron Rodgers, from his own words, describe how his split with the New York Jets went.
You know, I figured that when I flew across country on my own dime, that there was going to be a conversation. And the confusing thing to me, and the strange thing was, you know, when I went out there, I meet with the coach, we start talking, he runs out of the room. I'm like, that's kind of strange. I was like, then he comes back with the GM, and I'm like, all right. So we sit down in the office, and I think we're going to have this long conversation. I've flown across the country, and 20 seconds in, he goes, I mean, literally, I'm talking to the GM about something, and he leans to the edge of his sheet and goes, so do you want to play football? And I was like, yeah, I'm interested. And he said, we're going a different direction at quarterback. And I said, and I was kind of shocked. Now, not shocked because I didn't think that was a possibility. Listen, of course, they want to move on. That's totally fine. But shocked because I just flew across country. You could have told me this on the phone. If we weren't even going to have a conversation, and this is verbatim exactly how it happened. So I said, huh? And he goes, we just want to know how you want it released, the messaging. And I said, verbatim, I don't give a about the message. And I said, why? And then he said, I don't want to be up in front of the room saying something and have guys looking back at you.
Interesting.
And I said, what does that even mean? Are you assuming that I would be in the back of the room during a team meeting undermining what you're saying? I said, you don't know me. And he said, you don't know me. And then I said, exactly, which is why I flew across the country to have a face-to-face meeting with you to talk about my experience with the Jets and to hear your vision for the team. 20 seconds in. What I thought was going to be a couple-hour meeting turned into like a 15-minute meeting, and I walked out of there.
Okay.
That,
can I just say,
yeah,
has there ever been a professional athlete more tone-deaf than Aaron Rodgers? He mentioned multiple times, I flew out to New York on my own dime. I'm sorry, mister, I've made $380 million in my career. Like, I know that it's not an inexpensive thing to fly across the country, private, but he has the means to do it.
Yes.
And I can guarantee you this, guys. If the Jets would have done this over the phone, he'd be on Pat McAfee saying, can you believe the Jets did that over the phone? They wouldn't even have told me that face-to-face. They didn't have the courage to tell me this face-to-face. Just, I can't deal with Aaron Rodgers, man. He had been off the grid for a while. I was like, okay, he'll come back. I've had my Aaron Rodgers break. And immediately I'm just like, get this guy off my television.
Listen, there are some things that I enjoy about Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, the play. And then, you know, to me, the self, what is the word I'm looking for? he wants to help himself. He wants to better himself from a mental standpoint. That's the part that I do really enjoy about Aaron Rodgers, because he gives off that he's trying to make sure that he's in the right place mentally. And that's a everyday battle for a lot of people. So I do commend that. But these are the other things that you sort of just you dislike about him. And it seems like, you know, when talking about Aaron Rodgers, these are the things that people despise about him more than they love about him on the field, or the self-help stuff he's doing for himself. Again, he sounded a little bit like, what's the name of that cartoon? The guy, I get it later. Family Guy. What's his name? The Family Guy.
Peter Griffin?
Yeah, he sounds a little bit like Peter Griffin for a minute. Go back and listen to it. He sounds a little bit like Peter Griffin. But even with that, it's like, you know, it's this back and forth. Well, you don't know me. Well, I don't know. You don't know me. It's like, did we really need to know that? Like, did we really need to know that y'all had a little schoolyard spout, you know? You don't know me? No, you don't know me. I'm the biggest one in the schoolyard. No, I'm the biggest one in the schoolyard. But Aaron, you got to understand this too. Like Adam said, had they did it over the phone, you would have been pissed about that. You wouldn't have been satisfied. Oh, they didn't think enough of me or show me enough respect to not bring me in. I would have paid for my own flight. That's what he would have said. I would have paid for my own flight. So they bring you out. Hey, I've been through it before. Been through it twice. Okay, well, three times. But really once was when I had to fly to Baltimore. And I sat down and had a talk with Ozzy. He called me and said, hey, Mace, we need you to get here. We need to talk to you. I'm like, okay, I knew what it was going to be about. But okay, I flew there. But that's the respect that they have for me and I have for the organization. I listened to them. You know, I may not have liked it, but I understood. And we went about our ways. We parted ways. So to me, I don't understand this. And I know you get on Pat and you got to talk about something. You got to sensationalize it. But first you said it was all of 20 seconds. Then you said the meeting lasts for 15 minutes. Like, and then I can't see a head coach as many times as I sit in the head coach's office, and they were not for bad things, but I've never known a coach just to get up in midstream while you're talking and walk out the room. That's the part that it's like, dude, are you telling the whole story, the whole version of the story, or you just telling it from your perspective?
The other thing he said too, Willie, which was not in that clip, Pat McAfee asked him about what sort of contract he would be looking for. And Rodgers refuted reports that he was asking for significant money. He said, quote, I told every single one of the teams I talked to, it ain't about the money. I'll play for $10 million. Okay. Like, it's not about the money. Pay me $10 million. Like, well, now is that a quote unquote discount for Aaron Rodgers? Sure. But just to say, it's not about the money. I'll play for $10 million. I just, something about that rubbed me the wrong way as well.
I mean,
well, I'd like to see if he's going to play for $10 million. I don't think he will.
Well,
do you think he's going to play for $10 million?
We'll see. Somebody's going to offer him $10 million now.
One texter does take umbrage with my idea that Aaron Rodgers, if the Jets, I'm getting all of my teams confused here. One texter takes umbrage with my hypothetical that Aaron Rodgers would have found a way to complain about this if the Jets had done it over the phone. I mean, he absolutely would have complained. I didn't deserve the respect of you bringing me in face-to-face to do this. You had to do it over the phone.
Because every player does that. If you get a phone call and they cut you over the phone, or they see it on a ticker on ESPN, the first thing come out of their mouths, well, you couldn't bring me in for this, you know, show me the respect to bring me in and look at me at, you know, face to face like a man and tell me I was cut. You know, had the Jets chose to do that over the phone, Aaron Rodgers would have had a problem with it, I'm sure.
Here's what I would say. I do think that if we're being fair, the Jets aren't the best run organization. I do think the Jets could have handled it better, right? I think they could have offered to fly out. I think maybe you have a conversation. Hey, Aaron, we'd like to meet with you. Do you want us to come out there, or would you rather come in here? And then if they do fly him in, I think they should pick up the tab. I do. I think that's the professional thing to do. When the Predators call up a player from Milwaukee, I know not it's not quite the same thing, but they take care of the travel, right? That for team business, I think that should be handled. The travel should be handled by the team. But that aside, I think the interesting part is if you're the Steelers and you're watching him play his leverage cards, which is what he's doing, because I would be curious. The Steelers do not strike me as a team, Derek, that are one to say, hey, Aaron, tell us what you need, like the Jets did. The Jets said, Aaron, we'll do anything. We're desperate. Be our quarterback. Who do you want? You want Nathaniel Hackett? Done. You want Alan Lazard? Done. You want Randall Cobb? Done. You want Dalvin Cook? And on down the line, they did everything. They bent over backwards for him, and it blew up in their face. The Steelers don't strike me as a team that's going to be willing to do that, but they look like they're the only option right now.
Yeah, they do, and he probably knows that. And one thing that did sort of, you know, irk me about Aaron Rodgers, and this is what, I mean, it's coming from his mouth and nobody else's, is that when they asked him about football and does he want to play, quarterback, or does he want to play football, he gave a nonchalant answer. You know, what was the word he
I'm
used?
Interested.
I'm interested.
I'm interested. There's also a physical, right? Isn't there we got to make sure you're healthy.
He's open to anything and committed to nothing.
Exactly. But when somebody. Yeah,
there's a procedure there, though, right?
But when somebody asks you, hey, listen, do you want to be quarterback for me? You don't say I'm interested. You under contract. You don't say either you want to play quarterback or you don't. The minute you say I'm interested, I'm moving away. And it was right if after he said I'm interested, if Aaron Glenn then said, you know what, we're moving in another direction, Aaron Glenn has the right to say that, because you're going to sit here and you're going to tell the head coach and the GM, I'm interested in playing. That's not like, dude, the draft is coming up. You know, we got to evaluate players, free agency, all this stuff. And you tell me you're interested in playing? I'm not asking you to go to the store. I'm not asking you to go on a trip. I'm saying, do you want to play quarterback for this franchise? I'm interested.
But the Jets had already made their decision, right? They were bringing him in to inform him.
He didn't know.
They were moving on.
But he didn't know.
He may not have known. He may not have known. But he may have suspected that, hey, I'm not sure what I'm walking into here. But the Jets, I don't think they really cared what he said, right? If he said, I'll be your quarterback. I'll take a pay cut. I want to be your guy. Let's work this out. It sounds to me like Aaron Glenn had called that meeting to say, look, we're done with all this. We're starting a new chapter in Jets history, and it does not include Aaron Rodgers and his long list of yes men that he has surrounded himself with. True?
No.
And that's not used. Aaron Rodgers is not used to that. Mm-hmm. It's pointed out. It's a good article written by Zach Rosenblatt of The Athletic, where he really defends what Aaron Glenn did. And he said Aaron Rodgers has never been fired before. I think that's a fair point and an important point.
Aaron Rodgers is absolutely the "you can't fire me, I quit" kind of guy. But in that article you referenced, Zach Rosenblatt writes, quote, "If Glenn had told Rodgers they were done with him over the phone, would Rodgers have criticized him for not doing it face-to-face? Glenn handled this the right way. For all of the Jets' off-the-field missteps over the years, this was not one of them. He continues, for two seasons, Rodgers was a walking distraction. The Jets never deterred him from making appearances on McAfee's show, even as he used that platform to call out teammates, spew conspiracy theories, and just generally cause a stir, only for Rodgers to later decry the Jets organization for having so many non-football distractions."
Listen,
what about the Steelers, D-Mace? You know Mike Tomlin. You know the Steelers.
Yeah.
You never played for them, but you know what they're about.
I did
no
have
nonsense type of deal. I think I think they're right to sort of stand their ground and said, "Oh, you will be blessed. You will be privileged to play in our organization. We are not. It's not the other way around. We're not going to bend over backwards and say, oh, please, Aaron, will you play for the Steelers?" Like, they're not about that.
I did have a friend of mine who lives in Pittsburgh tweet out yesterday, "I'd rather the Steelers be terrible next season than have to watch this once a week," meaning Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee show.
I want to believe, based upon what, you know, I've seen year after year, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they have been one of the modeled franchises in regards to stability and, you know, guys really, you know, buying into their head coach or whatnot, that they wouldn't allow it. Now, listen, do they probably want Aaron Rodgers? Yes, but I'm sure they are sort of putting plans in place just in case, you know, it doesn't happen. I can't see the Pittsburgh Steelers truly letting Aaron Rodgers, you know, handcuff them in a situation where it's either him all or nothing with Aaron Rodgers. So I would tend, if indeed they do sign Aaron Rodgers, I think that you will see a different version of an Aaron Rodgers that you've seen the last 2 years. I wish he would stop doing the Pat McAfee, at least during the season, because I dislike the Pittsburgh Steelers just because of the rivalry that I had either here in Nashville or in Baltimore. But you can't do that to the Steeler fans. Those are some hell of a fans. They travel everywhere. They're with the Steelers through thick and thin, and they've never had to experience this at the quarterback level. So if he comes in and he's not strictly about ball and he's about doing once a week, I'm not sure if that's going to be beneficial for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
615-737-1025. Your thoughts on the Aaron Rodgers drama, which always tends to follow him around. 615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation and take your reaction. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game. D-Mace Vingan, the Donick, 1025-1063, The Game. I want to read this text from Chuck because I might have to rethink how I do things. Chuck says, "Dear Adam, DVD is the name. When you say your names, please keep the order the same always. For some reason, that bothers my OCD."
Hey.
I put myself last because Derek and Willie are the headliners. I'm the supporting cast. And I've grown accustomed to saying Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. I think I would have to retrain my brain to say Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, Willie Donick. Maybe I'll work on it for Chuck because I care about our listeners.
Chuck, just envision in basketball practice when you start off the practice, you try to get loose, you know, you take a couple laps and you get three lines and you do the three-man weave. Anybody can be in the middle at any time. It's a little three-man weave up and down that, you know, Adam could take the layup, I could take the layup, or Dina. It's just whoever ends up with the ball on the last pass.
Absolutely. And we are all setting up each other to score here on DVD. Take that however you want. 615-737-1025. A lot of people with reaction to Aaron Rodgers. One texter says, "Why are people okay with Shedeur Sanders not being strictly about ball, but it's a bad thing if Aaron Rodgers isn't 100% thinking about the NFL? I think that in both cases, they should be worried about their career and the game." Well, they are in two vastly different parts of their careers. Aaron Rodgers' career could be over. He's in his early 40s. Shedeur Sanders just about to enter the NFL. So keep that in mind as well.
Yeah, one started when the other one was about 2 years old, you know, and now the other one's entering the NFL as one is about to exit the NFL either this year or the next year, depending on what he chooses to do. Listen, this is what comes with Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, if you are in the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes, then this is what you have to deal with, you know. Unfortunately for him, there are not a lot of teams as there were 2 years ago that are in Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes.
One texter says that It sounds like I have a personal vendetta against Aaron Rodgers. I have nothing against Aaron Rodgers. I don't know Aaron Rodgers. But the guy just seems like a pain in the ass. And it's just not worth it anymore, I feel like. I just, at this stage of his career, he was ineffective for the Jets when he was on the field. I mean, he played, what, 5 snaps in his first game, and he suffered a season-ending Achilles tear, and I would wish that upon I wouldn't wish that upon anybody. So it's nothing personal against Aaron Rodgers. Like, I just, you know, I hear, like, I heard him say what we played on the show, and my first thought was, there was no way that scenario could play out that would please Aaron Rodgers. I know one texter took umbrage with this as well. I am 100% convinced that if the Jets would have done this over the phone, he would have been on McAfee complaining about the fact that the Jets broke up with him over the phone. And I've been broken up over the phone. It's not fun to be broken up with over the phone. It's very impersonal.
Wait, tell us about this, Adam. What happened?
There have been too many situations like that to count in my life.
Yeah, just going.
I got cut by the Blue Jays on the phone. I got that, and of course they were in Toronto, so it was. It was a little ways away from Nashville, but I got the call.
But you didn't. But you know, you didn't hop on the discount budget airline and fly up to Toronto and go through customs to sit down at the Blue Jays facility, only for them to tell you, "No thanks," and then walk out 5 seconds later.
Yeah. No,
but this is what I mean, good or bad. I do believe that Aaron Rodgers has at least a year, possibly even two, left of good football. Never will be Aaron Rodgers type of football, but good football. But it's these things like this that, you know, if people already don't think kindly of you, I don't think this helps, no matter how you explain it, because even in explaining it, you know, people can pick out things within what you're explaining that would say, well, Aaron, like you said, and I'm not saying you dislike Aaron, but if you are one of those people on the fence, it's like, but had they not brought you out or had they not asked you to come, you would have gotten upset because they did it over the phone. It would have been disrespectful to you.
It feels
had
like
they did it over the phone.
It feels like the only thing that would have pleased Aaron Rodgers is if Aaron Glenn would have walked into that meeting and gotten on his knees and said, "Oh, Aaron Rodgers, we love you, Aaron Rodgers. We worship you, Aaron Rodgers. We'll give you anything you want."
They did that the first time.
Yes.
Yeah. It didn't work.
That seems like the song. Yeah, that's what you have to do with Aaron Rodgers.
He wants to feel wanted. Even though he is probably wanted, he still wants that feeling of being wanted. I think Aaron Rodgers' thing is, and I think we all come to this at some point in our lives, whether it be in a profession that we're in or just real life, that you're not the top dog anymore. Even in your household, when you start having kids, you ain't the top dog anymore. Now you got to slide to the back. And sometimes it ain't cool sliding to the back. So you always want to try to you want to make things a little bit more difficult than what they should be or need to be.
One texter says, "I wouldn't say he was ineffective. I would have taken 3,800 yards and 28 touchdowns from a Titans quarterback last year. He's not worth the hassle, but that doesn't mean he didn't have a decent year last season."
I thought he had a pretty good year last season.
Didn't help him win.
Now, that team, listen, they had more problems than, you know, than they can swat away. But I thought from a quarterback standpoint, was his play, again, his play wasn't Aaron Rodgers-esque all season. He had his moments. But I do believe he played good football. That was just not a bad – chemistry-wise, it doesn't seem like that was a good team. Coach-wise, it just seems like from top to bottom, that team was not good. They may have had good players, but good players on a poorly ran team can't overcome that. And I think that's what the Jets were, a poorly ran team that they – and when I say poorly ran, they allowed the quarterback to come in and basically run everything.
And depending on how much value you put in QBR as a statistic, among qualified quarterbacks last season, Aaron Rodgers ranked 25th out of 32 in between C.J. Stroud and Daniel Jones last season.
Yeah, it depends on – there's a lot of different ways to evaluate a quarterback. And so, to me, if you're just looking at yards and touchdown passes, mm-hmm. that's just a surface number. We have to look way deeper than that. And I don't think he was bad, like D-May said. And he probably was playing at his best after the Jets were out of it. Mm-hmm. Like when they were still had a chance to be in it and they needed him really to play well. That, and I'm not putting it all on him, but they didn't play well to stay in the race.
One texter says, Glenn called him out to check his pulse and it took him all of 5 minutes to see everything he already knew. Rodgers wants to be begged and pandered to, and Glenn ain't going to do that, period. Have a great day. Glad he did it.
Hey, again, I go back to sometimes it's just wording. You don't have to say much, but listen to people's words. He didn't seem like a guy that was all in. When you tell someone, they're asking you, do you want to be quarterback? And you say, I'm interested. That's not, no. Let a draft pick. Okay, what if Cam Ward would have said, the Titans would have said, listen, Cam, we're going to draft you number one. You interested in being our number one quarterback? He said, do you want to be our number one quarterback? I'm interested in that. You think they're going to draft him? No, they're not. I don't want somebody that's interested in being quarterback. I want somebody that want to be our quarterback, not interested in it.
I do want to pass along one piece of hockey-related news. The Dallas Stars and Colorado Avalanche kick off their series tomorrow, and the Stars will be without Jason Robertson, who is week-to-week with an injury he suffered against the Predators in the Predators season finale on Wednesday. So no Jason Robertson, Willie, for the Stars. No Miro Heiskanen. Some big issues in Dallas.
The last game of the season for the Dallas Stars could not have gone worse for them. They decided to dress everybody and play hard and try to finish with a good feeling, some momentum going into game one against Colorado. And not only did they lose Robertson, he got tangled up with Michael McCarron along the boards, got hurt, didn't come back. But they didn't play a bit better. They started everybody and got blown out. So it completely backfired. So they go into this series with all kinds of question marks. It is going to be fascinating to watch to see if they can get it right, because they just haven't it's not just they haven't played well. They're playing horrendous hockey right now. They've lost seven in a row and have gotten blown out and given up about 5 goals a game over their last 8 games, or 7 games rather.
The Central Division is in the spotlight tomorrow when the Stanley Cup playoffs start. St. Louis at Winnipeg game one at 5:00. Colorado at Dallas game one at 7:30. 3 games on Sunday, 4 games on Monday, and even some games on Tuesday. I believe the Florida-Tampa Bay series starts on Tuesday, so they are a late start. But the Stanley Cup playoffs are about to begin. The NBA playoffs are about to begin. And although the Take It to the Bank season is formally over with Derek Mason, this year's champion, we will continue.
No doubt.
We will continue to Take It to the Bank, which we will do coming up next at 615-737-1025. More of an informal Take It to the Bank. And we'll even rope Jared Stillman into it, because Jared Stillman will join us coming up next as well. 615-737-1025. This one's for you, Chuck. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, Willie Donick. 1025, 1063, the game. 3 minutes. D-Mays, Fingan, and Donick, 1025, 1063, the game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, Willie Donick here with you. Jared Stillman, too. Hello, Jared. Is Jared there? He's actually not going to be on for a couple minutes. I thought I heard him. He'll be there. Where is Jared?
You'd have known if you'd have heard his voice.
Yes. Jared will chime in at some point. It's time to Take It to the Bank with F&M Bank. Customer, community, F&M Bank, banking made easy. On purpose. So the formal competition is over. That was concluded with the NCAA tournament. Derek won. But we're going to still keep it going, and Jared can get in on this too if he would like. So just for kicks and giggles, we're going to still make some picks. We're going to make one pick each at the end of every week. And Derek, since you're the reigning champion, we'll allow you to go first.
Yeah, I'm going for degree of difficulty here. Because we can all just pick games and let that be it. But no, I'm going for a degree of difficulty that LeBron James, because the playoffs start Saturday, LeBron James and Luka Doncic will combine for 50 or more points, and the Lakers will win that first game. So that's just one all-in-one.
I'm going to stick with the Stanley Cup playoffs. I just mentioned that Jason Robertson is week to week with an injury after being hurt in the Predators season finale. They're missing their top defenseman as well, Miro Heiskanen. I predict that the Colorado Avalanche will need no more than five games to eliminate the Dallas Stars from the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. No more than five. So maybe a gentleman's sweep, I think that's what it's called, right? Five games?
Yes.
I have heard that term. Yes.
So no more than a gentleman's sweep. The Avalanche will need no more than five games to defeat the Stars in the first round of the playoffs. Mm. Willie?
You know, I was looking at that series. I thought we might be doing some predictions here for the first round. I think it's fun. That is the one thing that we, I know, always argue over, what's the best way to do the playoffs in hockey. And I think most people want to go back to a 1-8, 2-7, and so on, instead of the inter-brackets within the division, because this is now the fourth straight time that the Kings are going to play the Oilers in the first round. But that the one thing it is fun is you can't fill out a bracket. I think that's what they like to do. So speaking of that, I'm going to say that despite all of the issues for the Oilers and losing Matthias Ekholm and all the banged up players and how they sort of limped to the finish line, I still think the Oilers will rise and beat the Kings for a fourth straight year in the first round.
Okay, David, any thoughts, any picks you want to make?
All right, guys. So my Memphis Grizzlies play tonight at 9 o'clock against the Dallas Mavericks. Now, we all know what the Mavericks did with Luka Doncic and how horrible that trade was. So I think it's going to continue. The horrors of Dallas are going to continue. They're going to lose, and the Memphis Grizzlies will advance to be the 8th seed and probably lose in 5 to the Oklahoma City Thunder. But we're not going to talk about that, but they're going to win
one
tonight.
One step at a time.
They're going to win tonight.
One step at a time. Jared, do you want to get in on this? Any picks you want to make about the NHL or NBA playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, everybody, I feel like, got one pick in there. I would like to have three, if I may.
Oh, please
number
do.
Number one, Andrew Burnett will remain as the head coach of the Predators. That Barry Trotz will announce that next week. I gave him the opportunity on whatever day, Wednesday, to say, yeah, he's coming back. He wouldn't totally do it until the exit meetings. I think whenever Barry talks next week, Andrew Burnett will be the head coach of the Predators, and Barry will say he will be the head coach next year. That's number one.
Okay.
Number two, I believe John Hines and the Minnesota Wild will get swept.
Oh, okay.
By the Vegas Golden Knights, proving what I believe for years and years and years, which Willie used to hate, that John Hines cannot win in the playoffs, period. He will not win a game in these playoffs.
But you seemed, you know,
they're
yesterday.
They're a huge underdog, Jared. They don't have the horses.
And yesterday.
You got to win a game.
And yesterday you said it doesn't look great on the old take scoreboard that John Hines is in the playoffs and Andrew Brunette is not.
I'll take
it. Does not look good on the take scoreboard.
John Hines did a great job to get that team to the playoffs. I will tell you that with all the injuries they had, I didn't think they would make it, but they're going to win a game. I'll give you the gentleman's bet on that. They'll at least win one against the Vegas.
Again, it's not a good look on the take scoreboard that John Hines is in the playoffs and the Nashville Predators have the third best odds for the number one pick in the draft. And then finally, Shedeur Sanders will not be drafted in the top 20 of the draft next Thursday night.
Thoughts on that, Derek?
Okay.
Take it to the bank.
I mean, that's not out of the realm of possibility, because if he gets past New Orleans, then it's going to be, I think, a free fall until somebody needs a quarterback again. The draft is about, when it comes to quarterbacks, which team needs one? And how many are out there that teams feel are, you know, more than starter worthy type of quarterbacks? Well, this year, a lot of teams are not in need of quarterbacks, at least not at the top half. And if he doesn't make it within that, what is it, top nine? New Orleans picks at nine. then I can see him falling, like you said, Jared. I can see him falling out of the top 20.
I actually agree with two of your three picks, Jared. I think those are two good ones. Not the John
Andrew
Hines
Burnett
one,
and the Shedeur Sanders one.
I'm side with you on those.
We do have a very important question for you, Jared. We opened the show.
Hey, can I throw one thing in there before we get to this?
Yes.
With Jared?
Yes.
I also have a bone to pick with the three of you, by the way.
Okay. One thing at a time. Yes.
I'll make this very quick. If we had Take It to the Bank a couple of years ago, when the Mets passed on Kumar Rocker, when they drafted him in the first round and then chose not to sign him because they looked at his medicals and they thought his arm was a time bomb, I was very, very angry. Being a Mets fan and, of course, a Vanderbilt former player. Kumar Rocker got his first major league win last night. And I can remember many times when this happened. It was before we did Take It to the Bank. But I said, my money will always be on Kumar Rocker. And it's been a long road back. He did have a major arm injury after he signed with the Rangers the following year. But he pitched a great game last night. He and Jack Leiter are in the same rotation with the Rangers, so congratulations to Kumar.
Okay, before you pick that bone, we started today's show by saying goodbye to a dear friend, Nicholas Petitfrère, a.k.a.
PT.
PT!
gave us many laughs.
We were wondering who is going to replace Petitfrère as your number one punching bag. We all had the same answer. Did you hear what our answer was?
L'Jarius Sneed.
Good answer.
Yeah.
That wasn't the one we thought.
Yeah, because you punched on him already.
We mentioned that. We put him in a little bit of a separate category.
Yeah, he's in a separate box. Yeah.
He's someone that you've already started punching a little bit based on some of your topics yesterday.
Enlighten me.
Chickaconquo.
Oh, Chick sucks. Two years ago.
You spent time talking about Mark Andrews yesterday because the Titans need a higher caliber tight end.
I'm sure y'all hate that one, too, because he's
not in his prime and he makes some money.
Every player you guys say I have to get has to be in their prime and has to be for league minimum.
Listen, Mark Andrews played pretty good last season, so I'm good with Mark Andrews.
But we think Chig is going to become—he's going to replace Petitfrère as your go-to punching bag on the Titans this season.
So 2 years ago, the Titans said, hey, Chig's going to be our starting tight end. And in the offseason, I was like, are you sure? Are you sure you don't want to get like a veteran tight end just in case Chig's not ready to start? And everyone said, no, Chig, he's ready, he's ready. And I went to training camp, and Chig balled out, and I was like, okay, Chig, he's good. And Gentry Estes said to me on the sidelines at training camp, he's like, I don't get the hype for Chig. I was like, I'm buying it. This is before the 23 season. Then Chig forgot how to catch. Chig already doesn't block. And then they ran it back with Chig last year. And Chig once again continued his... Every now and then Chig makes a play that is a, wow, look at that great athletic catch he made. But for the most part, it's inconsistencies. It's dropping the ball. It's an inability to block. He stinks. He's a backup tight end. He's a backup. He's really more of like a slot. You know, then he is an actual tight end who can get on the line and block somebody. And I want that constant target for Cam Ward. So, I mean, Chig might actually be on the list because I can't stand him right now. So that you guys may be onto something there. Here's my bone to pick with Adam and Derek. Mm-hmm. Adam said on the air that I deserved an Emmy for my performance last year on draft night. And you guys start talking about, oh, yeah, Jared, he's going to go nuts. He's going to. I am telling the truth. I have my hand on the Bible on this one. Last year, when I left my house to go to Twin Peaks on the night of the draft, before the two epic meltdowns, when Joe Wall got taken at 5 and when J.C. Latham got taken at 7, I heard Caroline say to you two, what are the odds that Jared's going to have a meltdown? Minus 600. And I thought, joke's on you three, because they're going to take Joe Walt with the 7th pick, and I'm going to be the happiest man in the world. And then when it didn't happen, and then when they took J.C. Latham, a right tackle, and then when they said he was going to play left tackle, I lost it. I want people to know that was not fake. That was the truth. And I was right about it. So there you go. I kept saying, take Brock Bowers. And they took J.C. Latham instead.
I did not mean to insinuate that you were faking it. I thought it was an Emmy worthy performance. Yeah. Like,
I actually watched it back last week. Lindsay and I were just screwing around on YouTube, and it came up. So we watched part of the draft last year, the draft show. I'm gonna put her on blast here. She asked me this question, Derek. She goes, "Why does it always feel like Derek and Chris stick up for the Titans?" And I said, "Well, they just have to balance me out." And then there was one where they were on the clock, and I said, "Oh, they're going to screw this up. My anxiety's so high." And Derek, you said to me, you go, "Why?" You said it's simple. I said, "Because the Titans are stupid." I mean, so it was the true emotions. I feel like we're going to lose some of that this year because we know who they're going to pick.
Know who they're going to pick. So unless they trade out of it and then draft somebody that you think is just a reach, it's going to be a calm draft this
year. I said the one way to ensure a Jared Stillman meltdown, which is not going to happen, but the one way it could happen is if the Titans stick at one and draft Shedeur Sanders.
That would be wild.
I think I would be meltdown.
I would lose my take it to the bank if that happened.
That'll do it for us this week. Of course, Stillman and Company is coming up next, but draft week is upon us. When we are back on Monday at 11 o'clock, we will be days away, thankfully, from the NFL draft. We will talk to you then. Stillman & Company coming up next.
Be love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, wonderful weekend. Happy Easter to everyone out there. Peace.